Okay, let's go over to Ireland and see how is it early in the morning there, Father Kramer? Thank you for being here, as always.
Well, I can say climate-wise, it's wonderful here in Ireland, but everything else is in total disorder. Like the rest of the world, we're living in a state of, how should I say, an established order of tyranny, which is called the New World Order. And
Yeah,
it's getting worse
tyranny,
and worse. It's a
propelled
state
by
of lawlessness.
chaos, lawlessness. Oh, it's all there.
Lawlessness, yes. And that's the term we find in Scripture. The reign of Antichrist is the reign of the man of lawlessness, and we are moving toward a condition of total lawlessness, which means a tyranny that protects those who are in power, and they
Oh,
can
yeah.
act with
Oh, yes.
impunity.
Yes.
And
Impunity. Couldn't agree more.
everyone who is not in the power structure is vulnerable. They can be targeted not only because they could be someone who was a threat to the power structure, but anyone who they can use as a target to protect their own. That is what the rule of law has been reduced to in our present time. And I think it's described most perfectly in the words of Euripides, who said, "Among the barbarians, all are slaves except one." And that's where we're headed now. And
No,
this,
interesting.
the church had been a force against lawlessness, for the rule of law, for justice, the law of God. And Bergoglio has been the one who has most reversed that in order to bring, attempting to bring the church into line with the New World Order and its lawlessness. So that's what we're faced with now with this upcoming conclave.
I agree, and we have covered this as well as anyone could cover it with your expertise, inside sources, and connections. Archbishop Viganò said, and you saw this, everyone did, most everyone, that cardinals created by Bergoglio cannot validly elect his successor. It's a corrupt group emplaced by a corrupt fraud pope, so it cannot choose a successor. How did that statement go over by the archbishop? How was it received? He's 100% right, I think.
He's 100% correct insofar as the election itself does not elect a valid pope.
No.
It is like it's like what we have in the church, a mechanism to validate an invalid marriage. If people who exchange the vows of marriage don't have the proper intention, then the marriage is invalid.
Right.
But
Makes sense.
if later on the whoever had the wrong intention begins to understand what are the obligations of the married state and corrects themselves, then they can validate what was originally invalid.
No,
So the
interesting.
same thing can happen with a papal election. If a conclave invalidly elects a man to be pope, but if he is a good, upright Catholic, has the Catholic faith, and the whole church, which is not to say the synodal church, that corrupt organization, but those who are authentically Catholics, who are adhering to the apostolic tradition and the profession of faith, if those who are recognizably Catholic throughout the world accept universally this man as Pope, and he is indeed a Catholic baptized man, then he would become a valid pope, even with an invalid election. This is explained by St. Alphonsus of Liguria, Doctor of the Church, St. Robert Bellarmine, right. Pope Gregory the 16th, Pietro Ballerini, the great theologians who have spoken about in their works about the authority of the Church and how to convalidate an invalid election. So it is not impossible for a valid pope to come out of the conclave, but the conclave itself, right off the bat, is not going to be valid. So Archbishop Vigano is correct on that point. But we have to understand that God has the power to how should I say, to bring about good through this evil. God can write straight with crooked lines.
All right. Go ahead.
But we can't just write off the possibility, like it cannot possibly be a valid pope coming out of the election. But when the man is elected, at the moment he's elected, it's going to be almost certain that we won't have a valid Catholic pope, but we may get one soon, in one way or another.
Well, what Vigano said, and here's the quote: a college of cardinals, composed of 108 cardinals, created by a Jesuit who usurped the papacy for 12 years, cannot validly elect a legitimate pope, end quote. That's what he actually said. And that it makes perfect sense, logical.
Yes.
At most, he said, the college will be able to designate its own representative, someone who will renew and continue the usurpation of the recently deceased predecessor, and see the ongoing fraud further ratified by a complicit or cowardly episcopate. This is what Vigano said to an Italian journalist. Any comment on that little quote from him? The college will be able to designate its own representative, someone who will renew and continue the usurpation of the recently deceased predecessor. So, in other words, phony.
That's right. We have the unfortunate, reasonable expectation that that is what going to be the outcome of this election.
Yeah.
That you're going to have a Bergoglian, synodalist, corrupt, false pope like Bergoglio to take his place. That is the most likely outcome.
Well, you'll know, Father Kramer, you'll know, and the good people left in the church, immediately. Are they going to announce four or five names that are in the final running? How will it happen? Or will they just announce, this is it, this is the guy? Or will there be nominations put before the group? How does it work?
The conclave is an election that takes place in secret, so you're going to have, they're going to spring on the whole world an individual who they're going to say is the pope.
Just like that, boom, all right. No nominations, no background checks, none of that. No interviewing, they're just going to name him. That'll be it, okay.
That's right, yeah. And it could be some character like Cardinal Zuppi of, I think, of Bologna, who, God forbid, or Cardinal Parolin, who is a totally godless, faithless, secular diplomat in a cardinal's outfit.
That nails it right down, yeah.
Then, of course, there's the notorious Tucho Fernandez, and I don't think I need to speak too much about him. I think we already familiar with that character.
Yes, so that's a possible. All right, let's just for fun. Let's say a lightning bolt of reason, of grace, of dignity came down from above and hit that group and gave them, I don't know, inspiration to do something good, to try to reverse the evil that was perpetrated with the last pope. And a lot of damage done, as you made clear last time. If a lightning bolt of integrity and insight and wisdom and divinity came down, could these people go to anybody in the world and bring them into the conclave? Like you, for example? Just for example, could you be brought in without even maybe your knowledge? I don't know how it works.
They can elect anyone they want if the person is a Catholic.
Okay.
Even if he's not a priest, they can elect a man. They elected centuries ago a man by the name of Peter Morone. I've forgotten his baptismal name. He was a hermit, and he was just a simple priest.
Mm-hmm.
They elected him pope, and he was summoned to come to Rome to become the pope, and that was the famous Saint Celestine V. He was totally inept. He lasted about 5.5 months as pope, and he resigned. But the thing is, in a very corrupted Roman Curia, they elected a saint to be pope, and that could happen again. Hopefully, if it does happen, there won't be someone who's so inept and incapable as Pope Celestine. But it has happened before that in situation where there's been such general corruption in the church, somehow a saint gets elected. And if that happens, his election, even if it's invalid, can be validated. There was the famous case of Pope Martin V. Before he was elected, the rule of law had so broken down in the church. There was Pope Gregory the 12th. There was a man who went by the name of John the 23rd, and there was a man who went by the name of Benedict the 13th, and all three claimed to be the valid pope. And hardly anyone was really certain about which one was the pope. You even had a canonized saint, the Dominican priest by the name of Saint Vincent Ferrer, who thought that Pedro de Luna, who went by the name of Benedict the 13th, was the valid pope. And he ended up being shown to be an anti-pope. And he went into schism and heresy in order to defend his invalid claim on the papacy. And finally, you had an ecumenical council, the Council of Constance, that designated the electors from the three competing camps. The three colleges of cardinals, the three competing colleges of cardinals, had from their groups selected one group of electors, and they elected Martin V, and of course he became the Pope of the Catholic Church, and that's how they got out of that situation. From what you had, the impossibility of electing a valid pope, they managed to elect a valid pope. So it can happen. It's not totally impossible that we can get a valid pope. But right off the bat, the man who's elected is not necessarily going to be a valid pope, and most likely will not be a valid pope.
I understand.
And there's a certain probability you're going to find now there's going to be a separation where you're going to have the church break up into two churches. A true Catholic Church that adheres to the apostolic tradition and the profession of faith, and you're going to have a false church, which is the church founded by Bergoglio, the synodal church, which is the rule of lawlessness, as opposed to what is in the Catholic Church, the rule of the law of God.
Well said. You have a large following around the world with these presentations you're making, and I know there are a lot of people wondering, where will our church be? What's our timeline right now for the replacement, approximately?
Well, I think it's next Wednesday, May the 7th, the conclave will begin, and it could end on that day, or it could be a prolonged process. But once a man is elected, when we see who it is who has been elected, then we will have a clearer idea of what direction church is going to be going in.
That'll be almost
instantaneous. Will the Catholic Church be driven underground under the force of the tyranny of the New World Order and a counterfeit church that is very much a part of that New World Order? Or will there be, by the grace of God, a true Catholic Pope who will be elected and will be a force against all this lawlessness? We don't know today, but we're going to know soon enough how this is going to play out and what will be the condition of the church. But we do know this, as Cardinal Henry Edward Manning wrote in 1861, long before the message of Fatima was revealed by the Mother of God in 1917, and the secret of Fatima beget part of it, at least became public in the 1940s.
Yes.
Cardinal Manning wrote that it was the ancient fathers of the church who, in unison, which is to say unanimously, they wrote that the day will come when the true vicar of Christ, meaning the true Pope of the Catholic Church, will be driven out of Rome. Rome will return to paganism, and it will appear as if the church has been swept off the face of the earth, which means to say the church will be driven underground into hiding. And the only real proof that the church will still exist will be the persecution itself, because they will be the New World Order is going to be so intent on exterminating the church that they're going to double down on their tyranny to oppress those who are of Christ.
You were one of the first that I ever heard, and then on this program many, many times, declare unequivocally that Bergoglio was a fraud, and his agenda was to do nothing but damage to the real church. And that he did a heck of a lot of damage while he was in there for those, 11, 12 years. Now, there was another fellow last October the 21st. I'll just read the headline here. Prominent Italian priest claims Francis is not the Pope in a viral sermon. Well, Father Kramer's been saying that for years, and there's no question. This fellow, I don't know of him, but he made a lot of noise with the statement. I'm sure part of it probably came from your character and your integrity standing up and making that statement your own way so many times. Famous Italian priest Father Giorgio Maria Ferre said in an October 13th sermon, which now has over 38,000 views, that he believes Francis Bergoglio is not a true pope, because Pope Benedict the 16th did not fully resign his office. As you remember, Benedict the 16th, formerly named Ratzinger, did not fully resign. He was overthrown and kept prisoner, basically, for the last 9 years of his life in the Vatican. Ferré said this, and I can't help but think he was encouraged to do so by your forthrightness. Ferré further said that Benedict did not properly resign from the papacy and remained pope until his death in 2022. The priest also charged that Pope Francis was doubtfully elected and Benedict intentionally did not resign. Francis is not the pope. Ferré opened his sermon by explaining that in recent years he has spent a great amount of time discerning the state of the church, and after much prayer and reflection, he has come to an uncomfortable conclusion. And I'll read this one statement. A priest must choose whether to preach what sacred scripture and the church have always taught, or to adhere to what the so-called Pope Francis teaches in his ordinary magisterium. Yes, you understood correctly. I said the so-called Pope Francis. What I am telling you today is that for over 11 years, a man recognized as Pope by the majority has been sitting on the chair of St. Peter, but he is not the legitimate Pope, Ferré said. So again, if you were listening to Father Kramer here, this is old news. But this story, for some reason, was pulled up and sent around again today. So the church knows, the heart and soul of the church knows that Bergoglio is a cancer on the Vatican. Gone now, but his ethos remains. Will it be expunged quickly with a really great pope named? I don't know. Any thoughts on this?
Well, again, there's two possibilities. Out of the conclave, there could be someone elected who is totally unexpected, who would be a great Catholic pope, but that is not the most likely outcome. Most likely, you're going to have either a Bergoglian or someone who is not quite as bad, but also not recognizably Catholic. And that will simply inject more confusion into what is already a state of chaos. Bergoglio, what can I say? Hardly had he just died. He had not even been buried in his tomb.
No.
And there was a professor of Christology at the Pontifical Urbanianum University, a priest by the name of Father Maurizio Gronchi. Again, a professor of theology at a Pontifical University in Rome, who came out and made the declaration that Bergoglio was a heretic. He was Gnostic. He was Pelagian. If you understand what is Gnosticism and Pelagianism, Pelagianism denies the need for the grace of God for salvation or to do anything good. You don't need the assistance of God to accomplish the work of God. This, of course, is totally against sacred scripture and against the entire tradition of the church. Gnosticism is a principle against all authority. It means that the truth and the right of the individual to latch on to the truth and recognize it can be done apart from any authority. That the truth is that the interior light, the light within the soul, that spark in the soul that enlightens one with the divine truth. You don't need a church hierarchy. You don't need the apostles and their successors. You don't need Jesus Christ to speak in the name of God the Father. That interior light of truth, according to Gnosticism, is within the soul, and that's all you need. Which is to say, a total principle of lawlessness. It it negates the word of God, because the word of God is the authority of God, spoken through the prophets, the apostles, and it is enshrined in sacred scripture, in the word of God that is written for all of us, like the tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain when he received the law of God, written by the hand of God. And that is replaced by the interpretations and judgments of men. And that is Gnosticism. And this priest, professor of Christology at the Urbanianum, the Pontifical Urbanianum University, made that declaration that Bergoglio was a Gnostic. He called him a neo-Gnostic, which means a present-day Gnostic, and Pelagianist. And that was entirely correct. That is what Bergoglio was. And I explained it in my two volumes, 1,300 pages that I spent 5 years writing, to prove that that's exactly what he was, a Gnostic and a Pelagian, which is to say, not a Christian, not a Catholic, not by any means whatsoever. He was a man who just had some Christian, some Catholic window dressing. Bergoglio notoriously said he had devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, that he believed in the message of Fatima. But the secret of Fatima, what did it say? Well, how did it begin? It began, and it was on July 13th, 1917, that the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, Mother of Jesus Christ, appeared to the three children and showed them the vision of hell. And she said to them, "You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go." Well, Bergoglio's doctrine, and that of Tucho Fernandez, is that God is so merciful that he wouldn't send any soul to hell forever. So his own doctrine, his own religion, his false religion, is entirely opposed to the doctrine of Our Lady of Fatima, which happens to be the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the church, that hell is forever. And that is where the wicked go.
Sell me. I that's where they belong. There's another story out now from Newsweek. I don't know if you've seen this one or not yet. They're claiming to have an update on the new favorite who has emerged as a front runner to replace Bergoglio. It's published today. Let me go through this and then we'll get your comments on this. Filipino Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle, that's T-A-G-L-E, has replaced Italian Cardinal Pietro Parolin as the new favorite to become the next pope following the death of Pope Francis Bergoglio. This according to a William Hill bookie, a bookmaker. So that's where Newsweek's going for its sources. So a bookie, we call them bookies over here, has said that the Filipino Cardinal Tagle is now the front runner. Let me go on with this just a little bit. The Pope oversees the Catholic Church, which has had around 1.4 billion followers in 2023, according to the Vatican Central Office for Church Statistics, easily making it the biggest church in the world. This gives the Pope significant influence over large swaths of the world. Previous incumbents have spoken out on a range of issues, including poverty reduction and opposition to abortion. The latest odds released on Friday by the British bookmaker William Hill had former Archbishop of Manila Tagle as the favorite at 9-4, ahead of Parolin, P-A-R-O-L-I-N. Currently, the Vatican's Secretary of State at 5-2. Those are odds. They are followed by a black Ghanaian named Peter Turkson at 5-1. Archbishop of Bologna, Matteo Zuppi, at 11-2. Hungarian Peter Erdo. I can't pronounce that one. Peter Erdo, it looks like, at 7-1. Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Pier Battista Pizzaballa, at 8-1. And Guinean Cardinal Robert Serra, at 10-1. So those are the alleged favorites, according to a bookie in London.
Of the ones you mentioned there, the ones the article mentions, Cardinal Serra, the African cardinal, he would actually be a Catholic, and he actually could become a valid pope.
That's it.
There are some others. The former Archbishop of Manila, Cardinal Tagle, is a heretic like Bergoglio, but he's a much more of a charismatic figure than the Secretary of State under Bergoglio, Pietro Parolin. Like I said, the man is a faithless, secularist diplomat wearing a cardinal's attire. I don't see him being elected because they're going to want someone who is more of a charismatic figure with some leadership qualities, and you would find that in that heretic Luis Antonio Tagle of the Philippines.
He's also a younger man, and because he is one of the Bergoglians, they might want somebody who's going to be around for a considerable period of time. That would make sense, too. Yeah, I don't know the fellow Serra. I don't know this one.
Cardinal Serra is a man of the Catholic faith. He's not... He doesn't think in totally outside of the Vatican II box, but he is a man who is in principle adhering to the traditional teaching of the Church. He could become a valid Catholic Pope and could lead the Church out of this.
Well, we're working
entirely chaotic mess that Bergoglio has created. I won't say it's created. It culminated under Bergoglio. It began already when after the death of Pope Pius XII, John the 23rd was elected. That was Cardinal Angelo Roncalli, and I always recall reading about. There was a catechetical institute, and there was brought to Rome an Australian woman by the name of Rosemary Goldie, and she was involved in that movement into. What John the 23rd called the updating of the Church. Mm-hmm. she was part of that movement. And one of the people working with her was a German woman by the name of Gerstner, Frau Gerstner.
Frau Gerstner.
A younger woman, Frau Gerstner. And Rosemary Goldie was the one in charge of that institute at the time, I think. Frau Gerstner had said to her, when Pius XII was dying, she said, what's going to happen to our church after Pope Pius dies? And Goldie said to her, oh, haven't you heard? Roncalli is going to be elected, and then after him, Montini, which means to say she already knew from, heard from, she heard it on the grapevine that Roncalli would be elected. He was elected. He became John the 23rd. And after him, Montini was elected. He became Paul the 6th.
Well, those are pretty darn good sources. I wouldn't call them grapevines. She knew more. Something else.
Yeah, well,
she knew more.
Well, it just so happened by pure coincidence that that Roncalli and Montini were protégés of I kind of think of the name of that cardinal.
By the way, Robert Sarra, Cardinal Sarra, in less than 6 weeks will be 80 years of age. That probably doesn't augur too well for his chances. They want somebody with more staying power, I would think. I don't, of all the names I named, the general flavor of the group would be what? Bergoglian for most all of them?
Most of them are, and like I was mentioning, Montini and Roncalli were protégés of Cardinal Rampolla.
Okay.
And Rampolla was the front runner to be elected at the death of Pope Leo the 13th. But the veto was pronounced in the name of the Austrian emperor against Rampolla. And because that had been an agreement, for a long-standing agreement, the veto was enforced. So Rampolla was about to be elected pope, and the veto was pronounced by the cardinal of I think of Warsaw.
When you say the veto was pronounced, just like it sounds, that was thumbs down, so to speak.
That's right. In the conclave, that the emperor was against that man, and he was given that right to pronounce the veto against the candidate, and Cardinal Rampolla, of course, was a member of one of the worst Masonic sects. And his election was vetoed, and so instead of him, they elected the great saint, Pope Pius the 10th, Giuseppe Sarto. And if you've ever read his life, there are few men in all the 20th century who were as saintly as that great pope.
You know, I've heard nothing but good things about him. I haven't read more. But this fellow, Luis Antonio Tagle, is that how you pronounce it? Tagle?
Yeah, Jesuit educated, Tagle.
Oh, no. Well, we're going to see, that's going to be Bergoglio 2.0, but younger and more charismatic, as you mentioned, which is what the overthrow of the church would thrive on, that kind of a guy.
Very much so.
That's not good. So. All right. If he's confirmed, what the heck does the real church do? It has to make a stand. It has to make it immediately, in my humble opinion. It has to be forceful and loud and no, this will not happen. It has to demand that a real schism in the church is brought out into the light of day, and the church has to become either real or part of the fraud. You're going to have two churches, which you've mentioned for a long time. I think now's the time. They can't sit back. This guy will get in there, and really, if he is selected, he'll make trouble, and he'll have the world thinking he's the cat's meow. Mark my words. I can see it. And this can't be allowed.
It is so unpredictable because even among those cardinals who were nominated by, made cardinals by Bergoglio, yeah, there's a good number of them that because their nomination is proposed by the hierarchy, mm-hmm, and oftentimes is rubber stamped by the so-called Pope Bergoglio. So there may be a good number of cardinals made cardinals by Bergoglio who are not Bergoglians, who still have, in spite of any theological confusion, may still have the Catholic faith. And they may react against all this Bergoglian lawlessness and disorder and understand that they have to bring into power a stabilizing force. And they might do what the conclave did after the death of John Paul II. They elected Ratzinger. This time we need somebody even more conservative than Ratzinger. We need someone who is unmistakably and clearly and certainly a beacon of Catholic faith, a beacon of gospel light. Mm-hmm. And Cardinal Sara is one of those who obviously speaks in such terms that identifies him as representing the Catholic faith. There are others, I think, less known, whose names are not mentioned so prominently, but I'll mention one name of a cardinal that I think would be a great pope, and that is Cardinal Malcolm Ranjith, the Archbishop of Colombo in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. He would have the potential to be a great pope.
Okay. Cardinal calls. Go ahead.
There are others, but some of them, like, could be a surprise, but a bit too old, I think, to be elected. Like Cardinal Farina was the Vatican librarian, but he is over age 90, so I don't think he'll be elected. But he would also be one who, at least he understands what is the source of the evil that has invaded the church. He could be a good pope. But how long would a 91-year-old man last as pope? I don't know.
The article in Newsweek ends up, if selected, Tagliae, who currently heads the Dicastery for Evangelization, would be the first Asian pope in history. According to the BBC, he is, quote, considered a moderate within the Catholic definition, end quote, and has previously expressed sympathy for migrants. I'll rephrase that, sympathy for invaders. Multiculturalism, which doesn't work. I'm saying this not as a Catholic, I'm just on the program here with Father Kramer, but it wouldn't be, no, if he is sympathetic to the invasion of Europe by migrants, invaders, he's not the man that's needed at all. I don't know if the church will have ever been in worse condition if this guy gets in there, from what I know, the little I know. I wouldn't call him a moderate.
No,
if you're sympathetic to the invasion of Europe and America and Australia and blah, 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 by these third world, and it's not their fault that they're third world, but they're third world. Multiculturalism does not work. Never has. It won't. Go ahead, Father Kramer. We have about 4 minutes.
Tagliae, what would he? He is packaged as a kinder, gentler version of Bergoglio, and we know what that is.
Yeah,
we know what we can expect from that. Right. That's not going to remedy the situation of the church is going to exacerbate it much more, much greater. If there's going to be an Asian cardinal, well, I would pray that it be Cardinal Ranjith. There's a man who is a true Catholic, and he could be a force to restore discipline, doctrine, just restore the sanity of the church. The church as a principle operating against all this lawlessness and corruption that has taken over the world.
Go ahead.
In a world headed toward the New World Order, which is the rule of tyranny and lawlessness, where, as I say in the words of Euripides, among the barbarians, all are slaves except one, and that is where the world is headed. We will all be under the oppressive rule of tyrants, and that's where we're headed. And
that's
the
right.
one force that is
right.
against, that is opposed, and the one force that is of God, with the almighty power of God, that can oppose that, is the Catholic Church. And that is why we need to have a Catholic Pope elected who can be a leaven against all the corruption that has spread through the world.
Well said. Perfectly said. In 2015, Tagle urged the Catholic Church to examine what he called its, quote, severe, end quote, stance toward homosexuals and divorced people. So says the BBC. He is opposed to abortion, which he regards as a form of murder. Well, you got half of it right. Go ahead. I hear you got something to say. Go ahead.
That severe stance against homosexuality and that severe stance against divorce and remarriage happens to be the stance of the divine Savior Jesus Christ. It's very clearly pronounced in the words of the gospel, recording the words of Christ, which are the word of God. So if Tagle is opposed, if Tagle is opposed to that word, he's opposed to Christ, which makes him an antichrist.
Yeah, he would certainly fit in those shoes. No question. Well, Francis's funeral is over. Bergoglio has gone home. Whether he took the elevator up or the elevator down, I don't know. It's not up as I can see it. This is not good. All right, so this is all due to begin on about May 7th. Members of the College of Cardinals will vote for their preferred candidate in a secret ballot with four rounds of voting per day until one candidate achieves two-thirds support. That's how it's going to play out. If the church gets a younger, more charismatic Bergoglio, the church has to stand up and divide itself. What can the church do? It can't allow this, or there'll be nothing left.
It's the word of St. John in the book of the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, who speaks of this demonic force that is the embodiment of the false counterfeit church. And he says, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sin." And that is the Catholics of the world. When they see that this counterfeit church is something devilish, something evil, something totally opposed to Christ and the law of God and the rule of order in the world, then they will withdraw from that organization, seeing that the infrastructure has been taken over by a gang of pirates. And the true church will be driven underground, and it will appear, as Cardinal Manning said, the teaching of the ancient fathers, that the true Pope, the true vicar of Christ, will be driven out of Rome, and it will appear, as it were, that the church will have been swept away, swept off the face of the earth.
Now, in these very dark times, just a tiny bit of humor, Donald Trump was asked, who would he like to see as new pope? Here's his answer.
As pope, I'd like to be pope. That would be my number one choice.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Father Kramer, thank you for sharing all of your thoughts. These are really momentous times, and we'll find out, with your help, where it's going soon enough. Thank you. Take care.
Trump reminds me of Richard Nixon when he said, I wouldn't have been a very good pope. You know what? Richard Nixon would have been a better pope than Jorge Bergoglio.
Amen. Well said. All right. You be well. Take care. Thank you. All right. And thanks to all of you for being here. Have a wonderful weekend. And we'll be back soon. Take care.